Hi, everybody. It's 3:04. Welcome to the Monday, September 20th meeting of Committee on Environment and Energy. We've got a quorum. Legislator Rogowski, Legislator Marcotte, and Legislator Myers. Today we are... I should say, before I get to this, I just want to report, as I've been doing periodically, we had another meeting of the Hudson Valley Environment Chairs. This time it was up in Ulster County in Kingston. Although the chair, the committees all call themselves something different, we do basically the same thing. We had a presentation on from the Hudson Valley Solar Consortium, who is really focused more on the job side and the industry side, and it's very interesting that they've created over 800 jobs in Ulster County by bringing solar manufacturers, inverter manufacturers to the old IBM plant. They really would like to go beyond just Ulster County. And so one of the things that we as a regional group of chairs are going to try and help them to expand their reach, I'm going to have them come in soon to this committee. And what I would like to do, I don't know if it would be a formal joint meeting with Budget and Appropriations, but certainly invite members of Budget and Appropriations, because what we're talking about is economic development. It makes great energy sense, it makes great environmental sense, but we're talking about jobs for Westchester, and they do a lot of work with SUNY New Paltz. We discussed the possibility of work they could do with the community college. So I think it'll be a very interesting discussion. I'm going to invite the administration and Larry Gottlieb from the IDA, because this, I think, could be a really nice confluence of smart environmental policy and smart economic policy. So that was the upshot of that meeting. So today we're talking about a bike-friendly Westchester. This is going to be kind of an open discussion, but it's really the beginning of a longer-term discussion. We started this last year in the old Government Operations Committee when we began talking about bike racks on buses, and doing a test pilot there, and we now have legislation in another committee dealing with that. We discussed putting bike shelters in, for instance, the bus depot and a couple other locations. I understand those are up, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I think the former Commissioner Sally mentioned they were. I will double-check on that. But that's when the conversation started. But I think what we want to do is we want to take a larger macro conversation about how we can work with both the cycling groups and our sister municipalities, and how we as the regional government can help empower them. So we noticed the presence of Legislator Kaplowitz. Thank you for joining us, sir. So today is really the beginning of a conversation about a macro vision for bike-friendly Westchester. We have a couple of local representatives from Bedford and from Lewisboro, as well as David. All will formally introduce themselves in a minute. And I say to the members of the committee, this is not meant to limit our discussion to Northern Westchester. They're just folks I know and have worked with. And this process is open to any groups in your constituencies that are trying to do the same thing, because the more commonalities we can find, then once we have those threads, it's easier to move forward. So what I'm going to suggest we do then is I'm going to ask all three of our speakers to identify themselves. We'll start with David, who will give us maybe a 10-15 minute overview, and then we'll go to Dan, and then we'll go to Terry. We'll let everyone bring us up to date, and then really let's just view this as a work session. Let's have an open discussion, questions, ideas, and how we can move forward. So, gentlemen, three of you, please identify yourselves for the record, and then David. It's all yours.
I'm David Wilson. I'm president of the Westchester Cycle Club, which is a 1,500-member recreational cycling group. And I'm also president of the Bike Walk Alliance of Westchester and Putnam, which is an advocacy group that's affiliated with the East Coast Greenway.
I'm Dan Welsh. I'm a resident of Lewisboro and a town council member there, and been active in some recent bicycle and pedestrian-friendly initiatives around the Golden Bridge area. tell you about that.
Terry Burke, I'm chairman of the Bedford Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee, and I'm also a member of the Westchester Cycling Club and Bike Walk Alliance. And I'll bring you up to date on what we're doing or not doing in Bedford.
Okay, thank you. One thing that I would let the committee know is that the county repaved Bedford Center Road from 22 down to 117 in the heart of Bedford with 4 foot wide shoulders on either side as a bike pedestrian friendly roadway. So that was a county initiative working with the town of Bedford that started some years ago and finally came to fruition this year.
That is so very nice. I've ridden it quite a few times.
Oh, good. So you can bring us up to date on how that's working out. Great, thank you. All right, David.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for asking us to come here. And I think it's a particularly important time to be talking about bike issues. It's biking with municipalities and counties. It's an issue that municipalities all over the country are creating initiatives for. The DOT, the Secretary of the DOT is taking a very pro-biking stance, and they're allocating more federal funding for biking issues. All across the country it's happening. I was just out in Portland, Oregon, where that city is perhaps the most bike-friendly of communities in America, and there's bike lanes throughout the city. There's a bike lane along the interstate going across the bridge, going across the Columbia River. But here in Westchester, I think we're really behind the times in terms of creating infrastructure for biking and having governments really considering it something that they want to embrace. Now the county has made a fantastic investment in the South County and the North County Trailway, which is a really great thing for our county. But when you kind of get beyond the trailway, there's a number of issues that our groups, the two groups that I'm leading now, and we've helped address a lot of these issues. We're just beginning. 2 years ago, for the last 2 years, we've had each year we've had a bike summit where we've gathered together public officials, cyclists, planners from the entire region to talk about bike issues and how we can move forward on a bike agenda. The first year we partnered with the county. Last year we partnered with the town of Greenburg. We're now looking forward to our next summit in next spring. We have to figure out which municipality we're going to partner with for that. And those meetings have really helped set an agenda. We've been able to share information. Terry was one of our presenters last year talking about what they've done in Bedford, so people from other communities can learn from it. And in Westchester is different than many municipalities around because Westchester really doesn't, the county government doesn't have a bike pedestrian coordinator, which most progressive communities would have. You look at New York City, New York City's, we're way behind New York City. Westchester doesn't have that. The municipalities, most of them don't have someone who's involved with that issue. So as a private group, we've really filled that void to try to bring the communities together and highlight some of these issues. We've worked with the town of Eastchester on with their environmental committee, where they've put sharrows on a number of roads there, which are these stencil-like things. It's not actually a bike lane, but it's a big stencil you put on the road, and it says that this is a place where cars and bikes. It's a preferred bike route on the road. We just worked with the village of Mamaroneck, which had proposed a particularly onerous ordinance having to do with bike parking, and where they were going to fine people $250 and make you liable for 15 days in jail if you park your bike in the wrong spot. And we thought that was not very bike friendly.
Nor people friendly.
But we were able to work with the community there and come up with an ordinance that was respected the rights of the pedestrians and the cyclists and was a way to encourage people to ride in the village. Our club, Westchester Cycle Club, we ride on the roads. We're road riders. We believe the roads of Westchester County are safe to ride on. We just had our 29th annual Golden Apple ride up in northern Westchester. Like 1,200 people come. There were barely, I think that one guy went down or two people went down. But, you know, there are people who skin their knee on a bike. But it was people rode safely on the roads. We ride on the roads all the time, and we believe that the roads here are safe, but there are things that can be done to make them safer. We're currently, this past year, Westchester resident was killed on the roads here when he was sideswiped by a county bus on Route 119 and killed. We embarked on a statewide campaign, a bike safety campaign, which resulted in a state law that was enacted and signed by the governor, and will go into effect on November 1st. And we are now embarking on a statewide bike safety campaign that we're going to kick off on September 28th, which is we're having an event in Bronxville that night, and which is a 30-second spot that's going to go on YouTube and hopefully the cable stations. And then we're also going to have a statewide campaign to explain to people how motorists and cyclists can share the road in a safe way. We're also, one county issue that we're concerned about, we've been concerned about this for several years, we're still concerned about it, because there's really very little action on it, as far as we've heard, is the $1 million grant that Westchester County obtained with the City of Yonkers in 2002 to extend the Bronx River Pathway on a 3.8-mile segment from Bronxville to the Bronx Line. This is a $1 million project. It's a $1 million federal grant that required a match from the City of Yonkers and the county over these 8 years now. Neither government has come up with a match, and this $1 million in federal money is just sitting there.
Which path was that?
This is the Bronx River Pathway.
We just passed the bond for the trailway.
For the trailway, that's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Which is, I think, 100% county funding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. This is just. This would under the original grant, it was $100,000 in county funding that would have leveraged the $1 million in federal funding, but the county has not done that. We urge the county to take another look at this project. The costs of it have escalated since then. The latest that I've heard from the City of Yonkers is it's now a $1.6 million project. So it would take a $200,000 county match as part of the match.
Can you comment on that project?
Yeah.
Well, can we what we're doing, John, since you came in late, we're going to have three presentations, and then we'll open it up for discussion. But you'll be first on the list.
I also...
While we have a break, for the record... Notice and acknowledge the presence of Legislator Nona and Legislator Burton. Thank you.
I also see several opportunities out there for some of the facilities that we do have in place, like the North and South County Trailway, which I do believe is underused. I believe that town recreation departments or the county or somebody could run some kind of bike programs on the bike trail to get people out riding. I think people would do it if there was people who wanted to organize such a program. I'm also talking with the Westchester ARC about developing a program for kids with developmental disabilities to get them out riding on trailways. We're trying to move forward. Our membership and our club is growing every year. We see a lot of interest in biking. The good thing about biking is that once you have your bike, it doesn't cost you anything to bike. You know, you once you have your bike and your helmet, you can just go out and ride. And I think it's a good way to promote a healthy lifestyle. It's also a good way to cut the carbon footprint and get around without using your car. We still believe that bike racks on the county buses would be a good investment on the county's part, especially as it moves to replace its buses. Bike racks are on 80% of the municipal bus systems in America today. Westchester is behind the curve on that. They come as standard equipment on these new buses. Westchester chooses not to have the standard equipment. They say, oh no, we don't want that. Take that off for us when they buy their new buses. That's how the new buses are built now, is with these racks. The county's saying, well, it's $1,000 per bus, and you multiply that times how many buses and look how much money is. But the reality is, from the people I talk to in the bus industry, is that it comes as standard equipment on these buses. So we believe that putting bike racks on the buses is a way to extend the reach of the county bus system to the people who don't have cars. And the county bus route can't get to everybody in Westchester County. And it's a way for people to ride their bikes to the bus stop, get on the bus, put their bike on. It's been a big success in Connecticut. Connecticut has it on all of their buses, all of their municipal buses. Many cities, Chicago has them on all their buses. Portland has it on all their buses. It's standard equipment on municipal buses around America. We think that would be a good investment on the county's part. Other than that, I look forward to working with the county. The planning department has worked with us in the past on our bike summits, and we've appreciated their work. We do know now that the planning department, there have been severe cutbacks in the planning department. There's going to be more. The guy who was working on bike issues doesn't really have time to work on bike issues anymore. So, in a sense, it makes our advocacy more important because there's not too much energy coming from within inside the administration right now. So we look forward to working with you and hope that maybe we can develop some initiatives together.
Great. Thanks. Thank you. So then we'll go to Dan and we'll go to Terry and then we'll open it up for questions and discussion.
Thanks,
David.
Globally, I'm totally in support of how David laid this out and where we're at. I'll give you a little peek into sort of a microcosm project of our way, I guess. Back probably April or May, a town resident came to our town board and said, you know, the roads are a little rough out there now. It looks like we've been forgotten. You know, by DOT, and we really think that we ought to think about putting in some bike paths. There are a lot of forward-thinking communities that are doing this, and for our kids, for our health, all the reasons that everybody speaks of. My colleagues on the town board reacted very, supportively to this. We'd love to do this. It's a great idea, and we'd like to. Look more into it. So I got excited because this seemed to have some organic, support for it. A lot of times we come up with ideas and maybe the public is indifferent, but there seemed to be a germ there. And indeed, we found that there was a number of residents in Golden Bridge who were very energized around this idea, and we formed a little team. It ended up being about 10 people. We were meeting every other week on it over the summer. The core sentiment of all the people on the group is represented in a statement that we put up on a website that we started, which the gist of which is to say is Route 138 in Golden Bridge is our main street. But it is no longer, accessible to us. It's unsafe, and they feel rather put upon in that respect. And thinking about it for myself, I feel that if you don't have the ability to safely walk from one part of your neighborhood to another, you've kind of lost a real fundamental right in a way. That right was not willingly given up. It was just gnawed away at. Route 138 is abysmal. Globally, the roads in Westchester on the whole are fairly safe. Route 138 is one of the exceptions, and it has no shoulders, and inevitably you go over a turn on a blind corner, and that's when it drops out, and DOT has managed to avoid that one for some time. Golden Bridge is really a logical place to do some things like this. It is one of the towns, if you look on the Westchester planning documentation in 2020 and all these things, it's one of the centers because it does have the train station and it makes a lot of sense with the multimodal transportation. It's got some population nodes, it has retail, but it's all broken apart because they ran 684 through it, and back when I was a kid, and again the road's falling apart. It's nowhere near what it ought to be. If you look at a Katona or some of these other places, as really where we ought to be headed. I think if we were to be able to move ahead with some of the bike pedestrian initiatives in Golden Bridge, it might be a spark which would attract some more interest in trying to bring Golden Bridge along as a more intelligently designed community and a smart growth domain. So a few weeks ago, we managed to get a meeting with DOT after lobbying with them for some time with their main bike coordinator people, and they came down to visit us. And you can all imagine how that meeting went. They were cordial, and they tried to be constructive, but of course they made sure they kept the grim face the whole time, and they made sure that we understood that they had, I think the numbers they used were like $500 million worth of work and $100 million budget, so that there was certainly nothing forthcoming, for enhancements like this might be. They did take a visit with them, tour the areas, and there are certainly other challenges above and beyond just their support. There's logistical and physical impediments, but they did say, if we were to go out and find money and get public-private partnerships going and find contractors that would be willing to contribute for some in kind and that type of thing, some foundations, that they would do their best to support and permit all the work that would need to be done. But certainly that's the extent of it. So at this point, they have suggested, again constructively, that we should try to craft a townwide plan, as maybe along the lines as Bedford has done, and to make sure that the ideas that we're talking about, 138 and some of the areas down around the shopping center, are included in that plan, so that when we do talk to DOT, we talk to anybody that we'd like to enlist in this effort, we can say, hey, this is part of the town plan. So that's one place we need to go with that. Besides that, we probably wanted, the first step would be to get some type of engineering done to take a look at the technical look at this, and maybe get some numbers so that, again, when we talk to people, is it $1 million? Is it $10 million? Is it $500,000? We can make some progress. So that, in a nutshell, is where we've got to, and maybe it's something that is being duplicated around different areas as people look to this. But I really do view this as almost a fundamental right issue. These people, I know many people said, we moved up to the suburbs because we wanted our kids to be able to do all those suburban things and bike, and they won't let their kids out on the road. They just simply won't let them out on the road. I don't think that's right.
Thanks, Dan. Terry.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for asking us here, Peter. And I think it's great. Anything to do with energy and environment has to include pro-bicycle. policies, because this is the way I think things are going in terms of energy. But I was just going to talk about time, but I'd like to jump in there because I completely agree with Dan in that what I've seen in Bedford is the three hamlets, and the only way to safely get from one to the other is by car. You can't go around by bicycle safely. I say you can't most cyclists, because there are two sorts of cyclists. There's the Westchester Cycle Club, the cyclists who go anywhere. But the greater number of people who cycle are probably most of the people, say, in Bedford, have two or three bicycles in the garage. And you'll see them in the summer. They come out and they're either on the pavement or going the wrong way down the street, and they nervously go in to get a coffee. But, I mean, these people make up the bulk of the cyclists, but they're very intermittent cyclists, and they would do a lot more if it was safe for them to do so. And it isn't. My wife loves cycling, but I'll either take her over and we'll park and we'll go along Mills Road or Honey Hollow, but she doesn't like to get there. And it's the access to the places, or she'll go on the bike path. And I think the vast bulk of people who would like to cycle and go to the shops fall into that category. And that's why I think you can't really do anything much further until you make access to all the nice areas sort of universal. And what I'm talking of is a complete streets policy. So I'm very closely following the Assembly and Senate have Gant Dinowitz in the Assembly and Dylan Das in the Senate are promoting a complete street bill. And if this goes through, it means that all transportation improvements must consider access to the streets for all users, not just cars, but for, you know, in Bedford, it'd be horses as well. But having the streets, any improvement, you'd have to consider how do we make it also good, say 138, for everyone to get along it. And therefore, you know, you would have shoulders wide and so on. I was slightly worried in the first instance when they did Bedford Centre Road, because there was
again, for those of you who weren't here at the beginning of the meeting, that was a county road that the county repaved, 4-foot shoulders on either side for pedestrians and bikes, and that was just completed this year.
Yeah, and it's marvelous. I've cycled it. But you get to the end, and I cycle off to Bedford down 22. But then, you know, for a normal cyclist, and this was one of the objections, and I agree with them, you're leading people along there, and then you're dropping in the middle of nowhere. And that's true, but yeah, I thought this is a first step. And I've been on to Amy Klein, and she's been passing me to Westchester Dot, and I've been passed to New York State Dot, because 22 and 117 and the other roads, improving and widening those is apparently a New York State issue rather than a local issue. But we need to have all the streets made accessible so people can. You know, my ideal is so that you can push off from Katona in the evening, cycle across to Bedford safely, watch a movie, have dinner there, and cycle back in the evening. You can't do that at the moment. Yeah. Even though I wouldn't do that at night on Route 22 with lights on. I prefer to. I only use those roads in daytime. But it'd be very nice if we had access throughout all the hamlets. Now, Bedford, we set up a plan, and we tried about 3-4 years ago, a group of cyclists in Bedford, and it went down like a stone because it was a plan. We studied a lot of plans and drew up what should be done and so on, and obviously there were big financial implications. So we dropped that, and then we pushed another plan, which was everyone was really happy about, because it had a zero budget. And basically it was a plan to draw up a plan. And it's on the Bedford website. Lee Robertson's very supportive. There's actually not too much in it. We again, studied all the plans. It's about 8-9 pages. It comes under the 5 E's, the engineering, education, encouragement, and so forth. We're chipping away at some areas where we can. In the education, we've gone and helped kids out of school, given talks at some of the local schools. But engineering, we're going to start looking. We missed all the recovery money that was going, but we're going to try and look at some of the grants that are coming up, transportation ones, highway ones, which we might be able to apply for, because we could do things like extend the tiny little bike trail that goes from Bedford Hills to nowhere halfway along. There are grants available to run it down say, behind EMP down to the Katona railway station. If you're connecting people to the railway station, there's money available for that sort of thing. We're looking into what we can actually look for. But our main emphasis at the moment is encouragement and creating a groundswell, because what we want is a plan that will come from the people of Bedford. Because if they are not interested in it, it's not going to be there. So we're thinking long term. At the moment, my focus is to, I want to chase up DOT. I want to ask you about that, because it is getting them to do something about the condition of the roads. 22 north to Bedford, to Golden's Bridge, is beautiful. Wide shoulders, but when you go down to Bedford, the edge is all cracked, there's almost a non-existent shoulder, and you either have to sit on the edge and risk being bumped off the road or going down a crack, or go into the middle of the road and dominate it and have people throw insults at you or try and shoulder you off. It's not too good there. And that deters all these casual cyclists. But anyway, that's the state we are at the moment. Our plan has, it's on the site, anyone can look at it, and what I'm doing a lot under encouragement is write articles in the Record Review every couple of weeks and try and push people into thinking bicycles. And Bedford actually has two policemen on bicycles now, which is quite good. Anyway, it's to get people to look at the plan and come in with their ideas and their views on how it can be improved and what they like in it. And the nice thing is, overwhelmingly, I haven't had a vast amount, but it's all been positive. Nobody's been negative. And I know there is quite a considerable negative feeling towards cycles in Bedford, because a lot of the fairly big landowners think this is fine as a toy, but not here. Yeah. We do it at our country homes and holidays, but we don't really want the lanes here disturbed by cyclists. But it's getting to a point where you soon there's going to be some serious accidents. You were on that ride in the spring. It went beautifully, but there were about 53 cyclists on it. We went down Bedford Centre Road, and worked beautifully because everyone was very disciplined, but we had a pace line running about nearly half a mile long. And with that amount of people on the roads are not going to be able to be safe for them, and something needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, for those of you who came in a little bit late, what we're doing today is really, this is just the first of a longer-ranging discussion about making Westchester a more bike-friendly place to live and work. We have some representatives from Northern Westchester today because I know them and have worked with them, but feel free to invite any of your constituent groups in to add to the conversation, and when we build, we'll weave a fabric of what some of the major themes are and see how we, as a county, as the regional government, can be assistance to these efforts. All right, so we let's go to John Nona, Judy Myers. I'll go third, and then if anyone else, then Marty, anyone else has questions from legislators, we'll hop into it.
As a cyclist, I have a few comments. First of all, one of the developments I've seen in my town is more bicycle people bicycling to the train station to take the train. And so I think we ought to figure out a way. I know Tarrytown has done a lot in this area. I'm not sure how many other towns have had, but encouraging more bike racks at train stations, I think, is important. Secondly, the issue of the bike racks on buses is very disappointing, because I thought we had a promise last year from Commissioner Sally, who's since retired, that this was a done deal.
And they bought the racks. They bought three of them for the test.
It was never done.
Tested them, and they seemed to work. And
so, I mean, I think we should go back. You know, we should try to make an effort on the legislative level to push for that.
And to that point, I sponsored legislation that's in Chairman Ryan's committee right now for just that.
Oh, that's good. I would be happy to support
What's
that.
What's the status of that?
We'll check for you.
Bike safety is key. Sometimes I get real concerned about some of the roads and dealing with the motorists, and then you got some roads, as you all well pointed out, have poorly designed shoulders. So the idea of any time a road gets repaved to make sure the shoulder is bike friendly is a really good idea. So I think that's something we ought to keep in mind on the public works side for county roads, where we could have an influence. Whatever happened with the issue up north with the, you know, those things they put on the side of the roads to warn drivers who go off?
Rumbles.
What's happening with that?
We mounted a campaign against that. We, in fact, filed a lawsuit against the state to try to get them to pave them over. But we were unsuccessful in our lawsuit. So
yeah,
basically, it's a tough word. We waited too long. We couldn't file an Article 78. So we had to file this other, we had to take this other theory, and it was, didn't quite convince the judge. So meanwhile, Route 100, which is a great place to ride, the road is deteriorating. They're patching potholes in the rumble strips currently. The road's falling apart. So at some point, when they repave the entire road, hopefully they'll just pave it over. But at this moment, We're living with it. The cyclists have basically figured out how to. We haven't heard of any recent accidents. There were a number of injuries originally. People didn't know what was happening.
We heard four or five.
There were several. But it's part of the state DOT. That's part of our problem here is the state DOT. They have very unfriendly policy toward cyclists. We feel that Route 100 was an abomination, putting in the rumble strips. And then just driving in today, I'm driving down 119 into White Plains. Go past the Ghost Bike where Merrill Castle was killed. And then you see you got four lanes of traffic, no shoulder, and then there's a state sign, bike route. What does that mean? On four lanes of road with no shoulder. And they announced this is a place for bikes to go. I don't know what they mean by that sign. It means nothing. It's a joke.
Yeah, I've been up on 100 by Muskoot Farm in that area.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. So it's one of the.
But there are those rumbles.
Yeah, it's you know, if you get taken by surprise, you can go down. If you know what you're doing and there's a wide enough, you know, at least they put them in. There is wide enough to have the rumble strips and a cyclist, but the fishermen also park there.
Yeah.
Which they should be able to. And so when you have to avoid one of the fishermen's trucks or when Muskoot has the farmer's market on Sunday morning, it can provide problems when you have to go out into the lane where the car is going 60 miles an hour.
One of the things about the roofs is maybe we should, I don't know if the county can do this or somebody should think about putting together a map of, you know, safe bike roofs.
Yeah, we'd love to work with the county on that.
I don't know if our parks.
This is one thing we're doing at Bedford. A group of us are going to come up with where we recommend people to cycle around Bedford.
A lot of us, I guess, have routes we know are pretty safe and easy to navigate. If we could all get our heads together and maybe the parks and rec. Yeah.
John, to your point, we as the regional government would be the logical choice to do that.
Maybe we're going to get parks and rec.
But unfortunately, the person, as David testified, who is in the planning department, has been pulled off of bike duty, so we don't have anybody doing it. So that's something I think we at a legislative level need to discuss in terms of priorities in the planning department.
And I know the parks and rec, Dave DeLuca, you know Dave DeLuca?
I know Dave.
Yeah, he's a mountain biker, I think, one of his cycles, but maybe he's somebody that could be detailed to do this because he's very interested in it. Just two more points. Are you feel the trailways being well maintained? Because there's certain parts of it that are kind of getting bumpy, and I think maybe we ought to take a look at that.
Well, there have been some. They did some work this summer on some parts of it. There are, I know the section up from Baldwin Place going south and Somers was, there were some problems up there. I think in general it has been fairly well maintained. There will be a time, though, that pavement does have a lifespan.
Yeah.
And I think there are some areas where there have been frost heaves.
There are. But actually, just as a quick aside, a couple of weeks ago we went out on the south of Mount Pleasant, about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. On the way back, a tree had fallen in, and luckily someone had put an orange cone on, because without the orange cone, you could have gone flying into that tree.
Yeah.
But I think the county keeps an eye on that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Final comment is on the Bronx River Trail.
Yes.
You know, I have doubts about whether that's suitable for biking. I've been on it twice, pretty far south, and first of all, it gets too crowded, there's too many people walking, and secondly, there are those those underpasses that are that people, unfortunately, cyclists, it says walk your bike, but people don't do that. And it can be very dangerous. So, I mean, I wouldn't encourage people to use that. Serious cyclists, maybe kids could use it, but I'm not sure that's a suitable bike trail. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, legislator. Judy.
Yes, thank you. Great presentation. David, you mentioned something about, which really caught my ear, something about the fact that once you have your bike, you just get your bike, strap on your helmet, and go. And a couple of years ago, we had some bike helmet legislation that we had proposed. And I wondered how you feel about mandatory bike helmet laws in Westchester County. Currently, it's just for children under the age of 14.
It's a state law, right, which is a state law.
Right.
We did it on county property.
But we were going to do it, we were going to do a county law.
Yeah, county law for county property.
I guess it would impact the Bronx River Parkway and
Trailway.
I'm of two minds on that. Our club, we had a big discussion in our club. It was a big showdown in our club. I think 2 years ago or a year ago. Should we make bike helmets mandatory to do a club ride? And it was a very close. And I actually cast the deciding vote as president of the club. It was a 9-8 vote. We went mandatory helmets. For the bike club rides. It's a little controversial. So I believe that everybody should wear a helmet when they go out and ride. On the other hand, I'm not convinced we need a law for that. There are some, it's certainly a good thing to have a helmet on, but I don't know if I would support a law. A lot of low-income people ride their bikes to and from just down at the corner. To me, it seemed like it could be a way of harassing people who ride their bikes. If the law was in effect, that they would target people on bikes and be handing out tickets to lots of people, and that would discourage people from riding bikes. I think the best way to do it is through an education campaign. Make them available if possible. Wear them. Have people wear them when they see people with them. They may be more likely to wear them, but I don't think I would be in favor of a law.
The other two?
I exactly the same. Well, for a start, I only bought my first helmet about 6 years ago. In Europe,
congratulations.
I would like the law because it would force my wife to wear a helmet. But when she rides on tandem with me, she wears a helmet. She often doesn't. A lot of women don't because they don't want to. They're going on somewhere, they don't want helmet
right,
there and hair, so on.
Yeah, it's bad for them.
I mean, I'm against it because I think it's an adult decision. It is to do with harassment. I don't wear a helmet usually when I'm going down for a coffee with a friend and it's 100 yards around the Roman village. I don't dress up for cycling. I think I would be personally against imposing that on people.
I think for the number of injuries there actually are, people do get hurt on bikes, and not,
right.
But for the number of injuries that there actually are, that it's like using a sledgehammer. I don't know. For the number of injuries there actually are biking, head injuries. And there are some. And I've gone down and hit my head. Luckily, I had a helmet on. But I just don't think that it warrants a law.
Thank you.
Got it? Okay, I have two quick questions, and then we'll go to Marty. First is, I seem to have identified three threads so far. One is, it would be beneficial to have someone in the county really coordinating countywide bike issues. But we keep coming back to this issue that we just started discussing last year, is bike racks on buses. And the third is a regional safe bike route map of some kind. Those are three that I've identified. Ask all three of you if there's one other thing where you'd like to see the county's involvement in your activities and helping on a regional basis, what would that be? We'll start with Dan.
I think you need to throw the commuter word in there, and that seems to me that they could start out saying anybody who lives within a mile of the train station, okay, should be able to hop on a bike and roll over. It's close enough, you're not going to get all sweaty if you're worried about that kind of thing. And you could get, you know, there's some low-hanging fruit there. You can get a lot of people who would do it if that was facilitated. That would be, you know, minimum in terms of, capital expense, everything.
But they would need parking for the bikes.
And we talked about that, too.
But it's not only, you know, people would chain their bikes to the fences and stuff if they had to, but it's the trails and the shoulders that we spoke of. But just, you know, drawing a circle around the train stations, saying, what's stopping? Here's a big condo complex here. You know, these people could all roll over here. What's stopping them? Oh, this intersection here is off.
Saying like 65% of all journeys
just train
miles, and nearly all of them done by car. You don't need to if people could actually get around the villages. Is it possible for the county to do its own version of a complete streets policy?
Well, the challenge is the county itself owns so few of the roads. You know, this is another one of those crazy things in New York. You have town roads, county roads, and state roads. We've been trying to get rid of our roads because it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to drive service trucks up from White Plains here up to June Road in North Salem when the North Salem DOT is driving back and forth on that road all day long. So, you know, that's kind of the problem of the patchwork of New York, is that all the different layers of government. But if we could help coordinate with state DOT and help the local municipalities coordinate that stuff as part of a regional plan, I would think that would make sense.
So if the county did decide, you know, within Westchester County, all new or repairs to roads must consider, you know, access for everyone, they couldn't impose it on other roads.
I think that's correct. Yeah. We could pass a resolution of intent, but we can't tell local municipalities or the state what to do as far as zoning and their roads.
So it has to come down from Albany.
Right, but if we were the planner and we were the advocate on behalf of a regional plan in conjunction with the municipalities, that I think would have a lot more teeth.
So if this bill passes in Albany, that means, say, Bedford could say, well, we're not doing that on our local roads.
No, because the state can tell what the municipalities can do.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
It would be an unfunded mandate.
Right, it'd be another unfunded mandate, of course, but.
The county established a policy like that, you don't have too many roads, so the reality of, you know, how much you're going to do would be limited, but maybe it would at least serve as an inspiration to the other levels of government.
Yeah, and it's not a sort of you will go out and spend gazillions. It's when you're doing future improvements to roads.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to do it. Any things, that's the time to widen it or so forth.
It would be our bridge to nowhere, Mr. Chairman. You know, you all of a sudden have a half mile road, all of a sudden it's the bike path, and then it ends. And you guys, it's like, now we're, you know, you're stuck.
Well, that's what we're a little worried about with us, but at the same time, we're hoping it will connect.
But the advantage to what you both are saying is a lot of the county roads run through many municipalities, and that's also where we should be a link in that. Mm-hmm. Marty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things. I will confess I haven't ridden a bike in several years. And I don't know, maybe some, from what I gather, some of the opposition is too strong a word, but the conflicts that you run into. Because I find from time to time I'm parked at a red light and the bike, you know, someone's bike, and they don't seem to play by the same rules. Is it my understanding that when you're on the road, are you supposed to follow the same rules? So
yes, you are.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, you know, I find myself, look at that, you know, and because my light might be turning green. I'm just ready to go. And sometimes flying by. They were going through the red light because they're just going in. And so I guess that just happens. I know through your club, you probably...
No, we in our club, our standard is, you know, the law is that, the rules of the road apply to cyclists as well as motorists.
I imagine some accidents come out of that, because I fairly recently, a couple of times where person has not been following the rules of the road, and then, you know, I can see then you get angry. Well, you know, look at that person. So okay.
Yeah,
so,
and one other thing, point I'd like to make though is one of the reasons that there are conflicts on the road is that the drivers don't follow the speed limit. If drivers would follow the speed limit on the roads in Westchester County and go what the speed limit actually is, the roads would be really safe, but they don't go the speed limit. Wherever it's, if it goes, if it says 35, nobody goes 35. If it says 30,
well,
they go 45.
I agree.
And that's
anyway, but bikers going through red lights, because you know you rarely see a biker sitting there waving the red light. The red light doesn't mean too much for the biker. Yeah, so anyway, just okay, I'm going to make sure, because I thought I might confirm, I thought they're supposed to follow the rules.
No, they are. No, they're
but in terms
the same
of,
rules.
Okay, now in terms of how do you handle, because again, it doesn't happen often, but in trying to set up these, you know, the bike ways, and it clearly would work. 1, 2, 3, 4, but every so often, whether they're tournaments, you know, you have this swarm of, you know, 200 bicycles. It doesn't happen a lot. And they're just moving down the street. In those situations, when whether it's a club or you're out on a Sunday, again, what's the protocol? Are they supposed to also double file and try to stay along the side?
Yes, the state law is that you can ride 2 abreast on the roads of New York unless a car is trying to pass you. If a car is trying to pass you, you're supposed to ride in single file.
But when 100 folks are out, they need to stay in line. They obviously, if you see them moving as a bee's, you know, bee's nest. You know,
there is a group of cyclists in Westchester. It's not really a group. It's a conglomeration of people. They ride on Saturday and Sunday mornings. It's called the Gimbel's Ride. It starts down at the old Gimbel's, Cross County Shopping Center, now Macy's. This ride has been going for 60 years.
Oh, this is the Boston Post Trouble?
But again,
they starts in Yonkers and goes up around, and they're going to be...
But the rule is this: more than two and just go a long ride.
Okay.
They go 6 to 10 abreast, and behind them in the car, and I give
And they wear brightly colored...
No, it's very bright, and it gives cyclists a bad name.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm getting at. Okay,
with the example in the ride in the spring when we had about 53 cyclists, we did a pretty well straight line, and it was Christine Stalbo, I think.
Yeah.
She yelled out, break it every 6. You know, Sergio had about 6 cyclists, then a gap for cars to pull in, then 6. And it worked, because the club are pretty disciplined members. And you know, you can tell the difference between a Gimbel's ride and, say, a WCC ride.
But thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to get a sense of what's going on. So
okay, thanks. We've got a couple minutes left. We're going to go to Legislator Marcotte,
Then
I'm going to take a quick break and go to, I see a couple of friendly faces in the crowd, just to see if they have anything to contribute. And again, this is not the end of the conversation. It's just the beginning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would echo Legislator Murkowski's sentiments on that, because I don't ride bikes. I do a lot of driving. I speak to a lot of constituents, but that is the number one complaint. And it doesn't, obviously, I don't want to use a broad brush, it doesn't apply to all cyclists, but you rarely do see a cyclist sitting at a red light. It's probably the person who's not the club member that does that type of thing. And I respect the fact that club members are completely cognizant of the laws and so forth. The other thing I just want to point out, not to be the Debbie Downer in the room, but I just feel that possibly you just need to be a little more realistic in terms of your vision. I certainly would not support any type of legislation that would be a complete street policy. Simply because I don't think it's reasonable. If you look at the village of Tuckahoe, it has 2 train stations, and it would be wonderful if everybody rode their bicycle to the train. It happens also to be one of the most densely populated villages in New York State. It's been there since 1901, and the town of Eastchester is going to celebrate its 350th anniversary in 4 years. So it's not a newly built town. It's been around. The roads are really narrow. So I think. To impose something like that truly would put an undue burden on the municipalities, because it's quite expensive to pave roads and to provide any type of a safe shoulder. And then the last thing I just wanted to point out, and you did mention the Sharrows in the town of Eastchester, they're on California Road. And I've heard good things and I've heard bad things, and I drive California Road constantly. I don't know as if that was the wisest decision the Environmental Committee ever made. It's not a wide road. Coupled with the new legislation that will kick in November 1st, I'm assuming that's the 2-foot rule?
Well, the law does not have an actual number in it. It just says you have to pass at a safe distance.
At a safe distance. So, safe distance. for the sake of conversation, let's use 2 feet as a safe distance. To follow the guideline, if I'm a driver, to pass somebody at a safe distance, you're literally going to force that driver into oncoming traffic. And that has been the complaint about the Sharrows on California Road. So in order to pass someone on that road, you're crossing a double yellow line, therefore creating, obviously, what is not a safe situation for a driver.
Well, you don't pass them.
Or you could not pass them, and you could back up traffic, and then people are yelling obscenities and honking their horn because someone's in the middle of the road. So, and I get that as well, because there's no safe passage for that bicyclist. I'm just saying it might not have been an excellent choice of a road, but I do agree that there should be. I think a map would be a wonderful endeavor to embark on in terms of providing safe roads, wide roads, that which has, you know, a nice shoulder.
It's designing roads where you've got safe cars and bikes, because going through Katona, whenever I come in, I usually keep to the edge, let traffic sit past me. I come into Katona, and right down the main part there, on 117, I pull out to the center for the simple reason that from St. Luke's all the way down through Katona, cars are parked there. I don't want to get dawed. So I'm in bounds. And I would love Sharrows painted. I'm trying to get them to do them the whole way so motorists would realize I'm being advised to cycle down the middle.
Because
I'm not actually trying to create, but I've had some very nasty comments shouted at me about moving over. But at the same time, I see the doors being flung over.
You can't move over.
The area must be very low, also.
It is low.
In actual fact, you would theoretically be holding.
I've gone through it very close to the speed limit, and these people are just barking, barking. It's 30, and I've gone through it about 25.
And then just lastly, I know it's truly not absolutely always reasonable to expect a municipality to be able to widen a road when it's time to repave it, because oftentimes that extra footage just simply doesn't exist. So, you know.
It's privately owned.
There just isn't room. There's sidewalks, there's property, so you can't do it.
I would think that legislation would have to take into
consideration all that, of course.
Yeah, the bill doesn't say it will. It says it should consider.
Okay.
Just to...
It's better.
Yeah.
No, it's part of your process. We're engineering this thing. We're looking, can it be done? Then we look at it.
If all the modality is there that you can safely do it, and the land is there and so on.
Okay.
Thanks. We've got basically 1 minute left before the next committee needs to come in here, but there are a few people out here we want to check in with, just introduce themselves, see if they have anything they'd like to contribute.
My name is Matt Wallach, a Citizens Campaign Environment, and I think it's great that you're doing this, having this conversation. I'd like to add quickly, the safety of the streets is obviously really important, and it's been found that, you know, when there's like a dangerous street, wherever in Westchester, if there is a bike lane there, it would slow traffic down and street would thus become safer. Also, potential for bike riders is very important, so looking at where the potential is for bike riders, you gave the example of Tuckahoe in Eastchester. There may be a very, very small number of bike riders there, but a great potential to have bike riders there if they had the infrastructure and the access to bike ride. And so, I mean, rather than just thinking about where can we put bike lanes in, where can we draw a map to something where a bike ride, the analysis of who, you know, find out the questions and who where is the great number of potential bike riders is a good opportunity to look at.
Okay, thanks. Hi.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm with Congressman John Hall's office. I'm his district representative for Westchester and Putnam, and I'm also his grants coordinator. So I know you mentioned grants. I'm the go-to person for that. I look forward to working with you guys and seeing what options are out there at the federal level.
Money. Great. You're not leaving. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. As I said, this is not the end of the conversation. It's just the beginning. We will have more of these. And again, for the legislators, if you have other constituent groups you'd like to join this process, David, Dan, Terry, thank you. We'll follow up. To members of the committee, the FCWC handed this out. It's called Greening Existing Buildings. It will be on Friday, September 24th, if anyone is interested. Committee business, I think we have a set of minutes here from September 8th. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everybody. Great meeting.
Where are we going?
Next.
Sure. Thank you. Debbie Downer. Can we call you Legislator Downer?
Where did Debbie Downer come from?
But you know, spoken like
a true town board member. Someone who's got to hear this.
Somebody's got to slow you guys down. Yeah, that's true.
It's what really fun when they close roads. I mean, like the Brown Department, when they close roads.
Yeah.
But then you feel so much safer.
Yeah.
It's the company.
Different television.
And they're right. Nobody does. Thanks for remembering.
After all you went through to get those done? Or is the recorder still on?
I'm just trying to.
Oh, because the red light's still on.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.